Well, another question about boosters is, should Americans, especially those without risk, get them at all, as so many in poorer countries are still waiting for their first shot? At a White House summit on COVID yesterday, President Biden promised to donate an additional 500 million Pfizer vaccines to other countries. But to vaccinate the globe, you don't just need the vaccine. You need healthcare workers and the right infrastructure. Dr. Vanessa Carey was at the summit, arguing that world leaders aren't doing enough to protect frontline workers. She's the CEO of Seed Global Health. That's an organization that trains healthcare workers in sub-Saharan Africa. Dr. Carey, welcome back.
Thank you very much for having me on the show.
So the president promised 500 million vaccines. Will that have some impact?
It will naturally have some impact. I mean, there's a couple problems here. One is there's just a scarcity of available vaccines for the world. We need 11 billion vaccines in order to get to what has been set as the 70% threshold for quote unquote herd immunity. Yeah. And we're still falling short. So every dose we can give and make accessible is more towards that scarcity.
Yeah, but we hear you, 500 million in contrast to the 11 billion needed from all, you know, many countries in the world. But what else are you seeing as shortages?
Well, I think that's exactly the next step, right? So for every dollar of donated vaccine that is made available, it's going to cost at least $5 to deliver that vaccine. And $2.50 of that cost is actually in the healthcare workforce. So we've seen in a number of places that there just isn't the healthcare workers needed to put shots in arms. And so, shots are being delivered, but they're not able to actually then be administered. And in some countries earlier this year, there were only 260 shots being delivered a day in certain countries in sub-Saharan Africa that deeply need access to the vaccine.
Well, let me ask you about that. Is this because, there is a shortage. That's what your organization does. You train healthcare workers in sub-Saharan Africa. Is there also burnout?
Well, I think healthcare workers are under assault across all fronts, right? We've been losing them, though. We're losing them to burnout. There are healthcare workers that are leaving. We are losing them to the fact that we've had about 200 healthcare workers a day dying from COVID at this point. And many healthcare workers have not actually received vaccines at this point to protect them. They've been, as we're discussing, three shots of vaccines here in the United States, there are millions of healthcare workers that have not received a single shot at this point. Mm. And I think what people don't realize is 115,000 healthcare workers is the total, at least that was announced in May, that had died to date. That doesn't feel like a lot, maybe compared to the millions that have died globally. But that's $4.5 billion worth of education. Mm-hmm. It's over a million years of time studying to be able to train those healthcare workers. And it's millions of patients that don't get care. Because in some of these countries, you have in Uganda, it was estimated that for every healthcare worker that died, there's 14,000 patients that won't be seen.
So you need the people, but you also need PPE, protective gear for the people, and a cold storage chain, freezers for the vaccine.
It is true that whether you're delivering vaccines or you're delivering healthcare or you're delivering a child, you as a healthcare worker and operates on a system. And we need the whole system to be functional in order to be efficient and to save lives. So you do need cold chain. But to pretend the cold chain is the problem here is a mistake. And, a conversation with John Kengasong, who is the director of the Africa CDC, really highlighted this for me. He, shared that, to say that we can't deliver vaccines in Africa because there isn't the full system is a falsehood. Because if you tell us we're going to get the vaccines, we will bring people to the stadiums where we can plug in the cooler and we can deliver the vaccines. This is, it's about having the audacity to create the solution and then to figure out how to make it happen. And so we need to think boldly. If we are going to truly close the health inequity gaps that exist in 2021, and they are enormous and they are perverse in this day and age when we have all the tools we need, we are just not empowering and implementing them. We need to build much larger scale funding and really invest in into our health systems and especially our healthcare workforce, which has frankly never been prioritized in the way that it needs to be. Mm. We need to create longer timelines because turning around positive results, while it can start immediately here and now, the full scope and scale to appreciate it takes years. And so I think we have a huge opportunity to change business as usual.
You remind us this is a humanitarian issue, but also a practical one. And we always have to underscore by saying the virus rampant in one country, a poorer country, does not stay in that country. So it's a concern of everyone. Dr. Vanessa Carey, CEO of Seed Global Health, thanks and best of luck to you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me on. I'm delighted to join you.